Welcome to Shadow Work. What the fuck? If you've been thinking, what the fuck is shadow work and how does it help me? You're in the right place. This is your go-to podcast that will answer all your questions as well as give you the tools to dig into your shadow so you can set yourself free from the bullshit holding you back and finally start manifesting that juicy as fuck life I know you've been dreaming of. I'm your host, Caitlin Hosking, the shadow work queen and coach to fierce as fuck women who want to heal their shit so they can drop the self-sabotage and take control of their futures. I know shadow work can feel a little bit scary, so if you're new here, don't stress. I'm here to demystify the spook and bring some fun to the heavy. So get ready to learn, cry, laugh, and finally understand why the fuck you do what you do so you can quit playing small and start manifesting those big dreams. So without any further ado, let's jump into this episode. Hello, beautiful souls, and welcome back to another episode of Shadow Work. What the fuck? Today, I have the beautiful and amazing Kat Dunn joining us today. And Kat was a previous client of mine. She's been in and out of my world since 2021, I believe. Yep.
2020.
Yeah, crazy. Mm. And I have just gotten to watch this beautiful soul go from absolutely no business to being full-time in her business since 2021. And it's been such a beautiful journey getting to see her navigate and really step into her power and to use her networks and to get out of her own way and to just keep showing up even when it's been hard, even when she's had all of these curveballs and like even just seeing your brand change. Like when she first started, it was much softer and she was like, oh, this is not really me. And then as she's found herself more and more, she's like, yes, this is my fucking brand. This is who I am. And just shown up in that full power. And so I wanted to bring her on today to talk a bit about her journey and talk about how shadow work's really helped facilitate her throughout her business, from the creation of the business, the birth of the business, to building and allowing it to continue to flourish. So Kat is an OBM and she works with beautiful coaches and just helps them scale their businesses in a way that's really aligned for them and making sure that, you know, us as coaches, we don't want to be doing the system shit. We don't want to be doing all of that back end stuff. We just want to be on podcasts. We want to be doing our thing. And Kat is a beautiful soul that allows us to really step into our zone of genius while claiming her own. So Kat, welcome. Welcome to the podcast. I'm so excited to have you here.
Thank you. I'm very honored. Love being in your space. As you know, I'm obsessed.
Aw, love you. I'm so excited for this conversation because like your growth has been phenomenal. Like phenomenal. So I know that we met at a Queen of Confidence event. Yes. And I believe I had like put my hand up and I had asked a question about something which I can't remember. And then you just came into my world, you know, like that really inspired me or something like that. What do you have to offer? And then you joined Ignite. And that was actually the first time I ever ran Ignite, which is so crazy to me because it's like developed so much and like so have you. And yeah, I would love to hear a little bit about that journey of, you know, you were in the Queen of Confidence's world. I believe you still are. So how did you end up there? And what were kind of those steps to being like, oh, this seems like my next step?
So I have kind of struggled mentally for a long time. And I think in my world where I grew up, it's not something that was really talked about. And you kind of assumed I'm a teenager. This is hormones. But I was very up and down in relationships. I was in very bad relationships. I didn't really know how to express myself in a healthy way. Where I'm from, you know, there's a lot of weekend binge drinking or you hang out and do like just hang out with people that aren't very good for you. And I didn't know any different. And I came to Australia and I've tried going to therapy when I got here and I tried several different therapists and it was good to talk things out, but I always left feeling a bit worse because you feel like you sit in it and they were supportive, but it felt a bit like, well, what do I do now when I go home? I just have to wait a week and come back and just share again. Mm. And I wondered, what else do I do? I don't know what else is out there. And I don't know how I found Erica Kramer, but I found her podcast and it was like the first time I'd ever really known what podcasts were, considering how huge they are now. I look back and go, wow, okay, baby. And I binged a lot of her content and she had a lot around relationships with her husband, Hamish. And I was in a very difficult relationship at the time. And I tried to implement these techniques that didn't work because obviously they only work if you and your partner are both open to it. So I joined her sisterhood program on a whim. It was the most money I'd ever spent on myself when it comes to like personal development. I look back and go, is that it? Because I spend a lot now. And I went to an event, terrified, and the theme was money. And I remember you vividly, I don't remember your question either, but you stood up and you said, oh, I'm a coach. And it was the first time I kind of realized, oh, so there's other coaches out there. So this is a thing. Oh, okay. Right. Fantastic. Now, because I'd signed up and I guess I didn't really know what it meant. What is personal development? What is coaching? How do I change my life? And I remember you had blonde hair then. So obviously I spotted you because I was like, hello, fellow blondie. And so I kind of stalked you because I was like, oh, there's other coaches out there. I wonder what other people offer as well. And so I followed you for a long time and you kept talking about things like shadow work. And I was like, what on earth is shadow work? I've just learned that I can manage my own thoughts. I'm like, this is a lot. And I remember then I loved your content. You were so open and you shared your story. And you'd shared that you'd been in toxic relationships and maybe you turned to alcohol and numbed everything out. And it was like a light bulb of like, oh yeah, that's been me for like 20 years. Like, this is insane. This is what I do. So I straight away connected with you because I thought, well, if she's been through the same thing and she's now got a coaching business, which I'd never even heard of, and she's completely turned her life around, then I need to learn more. So I was in Erica's program. I still am. I've got some amazing connections in then. But it was working with you that first introduced me to the idea of shadow work and how I can use that in business. And so I did Ignite, completely blew my mind over 4 days, had no idea what I was doing. And it's literally from there, from those 4 days, I honestly think that was when I pivoted into, right, this is almost like personal development became a full-time job for me as well, because I was like, if Caitlin can do this, if Erica can do this, if my fellow people in these programs can change their lives from something that is really hard, but also very simple, I'm all in.
Oh, so beautiful. And I love how you're just like, I don't know what the fuck this world is, and I've never heard of it, but we're going for it.
I definitely don't do things by halves. I definitely just take action quite immediately. So I was just like, yeah, okay, let's do this. I'm already in.
Yeah, and actually, you know, that point on I don't th do things in halves, I think that's really required in business as well. And being able to just go, I'm gonna fucking send it. That's what I remember the most. Like, you came into Ignite being like, I think I want a business, but I don't know what it is, and whatever else you said. And then by the end of it, you're like, okay, this is the business. And then you just started posting on social media and you're like, let's fucking go. And I was like, yeah, girl, mad. Like, and all that stuff just started to really drop in. So what do you feel like shadow work allowed you to step into and like cr start creating a business, rather than, you know, you were in a full-time job, you're working a lot of hours, you're kind of stuck behind the desk all the time. So what was it in that shadow work process where you were like, I can actually fucking do something differently here?
My whole journey through corporate, I was in corporate for a long time doing jobs, and I climbed my way up the ladder. And I had this very strange thought, and I don't know where it came from, possibly my dad, that work and everything else is separate. So when you go to work and you have colleagues, they are colleagues. You do not get close to them, they're not your friends. It's very like it has to be this very specific line between that and your personal life. I don't know if it came from the idea of not trusting, because I didn't trust myself, which is what I learned, which I didn't realize. And I realized how ridiculous that was. If you're spending all your time pretty much in a day with these people and you're not connected to them, you're going through life in such an empty space. Because when you go home, the people you're with don't really understand what your work has been like or what you go through, but your work colleagues do. So why you hold them at arm's length? So when I had the idea of, oh, I can have my own business, and obviously didn't really know what it was in, I had to really go in and go, so what is it about myself that I'm really hiding? Because I think when it came to corporate world, for example, you have to abide by the company's rules, the company's standards, the company's values. And everyone else in there has their own that they bring in. And I class myself as very weird and very different and very strange. And right now, I love that. I think that's fantastic about me. But it's hard when you're in a society's norm of you have to fit in, you have to abide. And I think we're taught that from school from a young age. So in business, as I started, you'd give me a glimpse into shadow work. You know, I'd admit all these dark, terrible parts of myself, which aren't dark and terrible. They're actually wonderful. But I feel like I'd glimpsed into them and then kept them locked in where they were. So when I started my business, I carried in everything I had from corporate. I was still being really shy. My brand wasn't me. My voice wasn't me. Every client, I let them walk all over me because I was like, who am I to stand up for myself? Who am I to set a boundary? Because you'd give me a glimpse into a world. It's almost like anyone who's new to shadow work, kind of like imagine you're peeking under the bonnet of a car and you kind of see, oh, there's an issue here, there's an issue there. But all these things just need to be tweaked or put some oil in or something and they'll run better. But instead, I was just like, just pull that bit out and just pull that bit out and pull that bit out and expecting the car to run. It's the best way I can describe it. That's I've kept feeling like I was pulling bits out, but I'd ignored so many parts that like just were gone all rusted and weird. So in business, I started to realize, oh, I am my business. And if I'm not honest about who I am and bring that forward, how on earth are people going to work with me? Like I'm lying. And when I started really working on it and doing more with shadow work and even journaling, I'd find like other personalities were coming out of me. And so rather than be like, oh my God, there's like 16 different people inside my head, it was more just like, these are all these different bits I don't get to speak because in corporate and then business, I'm just shying away from them when some of them are actually my strongest selling point or the strongest part of me. And the worst thing was I was doing that in corporate, then I carried that into my business. So I lost who I was at the very core of that. And then the relationship I was in at the time, everything I loved about me, everything that made me, that he'd pretended he loved, he'd put away slowly, inch by inch, to the point that even in my own home life, I didn't actually know how to put those bits back together. So obviously I could just float through life and pretend that's okay. But I always felt like, you know, that cheese that has holes in it. It's a bit floppy. It was a bit like that. I was like, this isn't, there's not enough structure here. There's not enough going on to keep me upright. Like, what is happening? And that's when it was like, right, so which parts am I denying? Which parts everyone else calls weird or like, what's wrong with you? And why can't you do that? It took a very long time, but it was like chipping away to bring them back in. So, all right, cool. I'm weird because I like horror movies. Well, actually, I like in horror movies, it's a connection to my brother I've had since I was 7 years old that actually made me and my brother close. Having a connection to horror movies meant in high school when my best friend who'd been my friend for years turned out to be very, very toxic, which I didn't realize as a kid. And I started talking to someone else in my class who was like, oh my God, I snuck my sister's copy of Scream on videotape last night or whatever it was. And I was like, Scream, what's that? Horror film. And now we're both 38 years old and we've been best friends since we were 15. We voice note each other every day. And that's what our friendship cemented on. And it might not sound like a real thing, like why on earth are you talking about horror movies? But it's like it's a part of me that was so dark and people didn't understand and assumed things about me. It's like, no, it's actually got real connections to real life human relationships for me. So when it came to business, I was doing what everyone else was doing. And I was following people who probably don't know who they are as well. They probably fell into that trap, you know, from corporate hangover of this is what expected of me. And so slowly I started showing myself on social in terms of like, hi, this is me. I'm a bit weird and I do this. And I've written this horror review for this horror website. Do you want to check it out? And what slowly happened was just showing one bit of me. I like horror movies, which a lot of people don't. It started this conversation. And now people can go, oh, yeah, the horror chick. She was, I'll die happy being called the horror chick. But it started a conversation to them, be like, oh, yeah, business. Oh, cool. What'd you do? Oh, yeah, that. And it started this. It opened up. So one tiny thing of horror, it's dark, it's creepy, whatever, which I don't. I think there's horror films for all moods. It opened a door to then examine every other part of my life and why I'd been keeping that so secret.
Yeah, it's really beautiful. And yeah, I definitely, if I think of horror movies and a woman, I definitely think of you. So top
Yay!
branding.
I love it.
And that's the thing, like, you know, these parts that society often deems as like weird or, you know, you shouldn't like that, especially as a woman. It's like horror and women's like, no, like, what are you, a serial killer?
Yes.
And it has all of this stuff around it, but that's also like the weird parts are our unique parts. And in business, that is what draws people to you. They're like, oh, I thought I was weird for liking horror movies, but you've just normalized it, and now I feel like I can connect with you. Whereas there's so much, like, I guess, like talking about that corporate space in particular, and this is something I see all the time on social media, is like people show up so clinical and they're like, okay, guys, like we're gonna talk about this and blah blah blah. And it's like, where's your fucking personality, babe? Like that's actually what it takes. And those things that we have pushed away because people have shamed us or told us that's not right or said it's weird or whatever it is, that's actually the magic in business. And that shadow work piece that you're saying around it was it sounds really layered for you. So it's like, oh, this is weird, so I'm not gonna look at it. And then you're like, I'm thinking this is weird. Why do I think it's weird? And then starting to like actually spend time getting to know that part of you and being like, well, instead of just thinking you're weird, like, what's your gift, really? Right? It's like, what's your gift? And then seeing, oh shit, this is actually a pattern of connection for me. I could connect with my brother. I could connect with this beautiful friend still to this day over this. And that was like just the door opening. And so instead of shaming this part of me and say it's weird, it's like, actually, it's fucking beautiful. It's so beautiful. It's allowed me so many things in my life. And that is like, correct me if I'm wrong, but like when you saw that, was that when it just kind of clicked and you're like, yeah, cool. This is me.
Yeah, definitely. Because I know I keep going back to horror, but it's the easiest way to explain opening the door, as you said. In England, there is a 5-day horror film festival called Fright Fest. And you sit in the cinema for 5 days, and I mean long days, and you watch brand new horror films or horror films that have been remastered. And me and my friend did this every year. Go to London, spend 5 days in a cinema. And I've never felt happier or more at home or more seen or more heard in my life because what I found with the horror and like the rock community, like rock music, is we tend to be a bunch of outcasts that are being thrown together. But rather than being outcasted from the world and look at it as a negative, I realized that it's all because we've got this little weird thing that no one else really understands or judges or assumes about us. And I get to be in there and get to be my complete self. And they accept me because they don't care. They don't give a shit. They don't give a shit if I have a business and stuff. I'm not in a rude way, but you love horror movies. Cool, let's connect on this. Oh, you like rock music? Cool. So there's no judgment on it. It's like just a really open, free place. And I know a lot of people have found that themselves, maybe in the spiritual world or particular festivals or particular circles and groups. You know, like that's why I feel like coaches, when they create their own communities, it's fantastic because you find that as well. So by opening that door with my best friend, it then opened this door to a community in the UK that I didn't know existed. And then in that community, I meet people and start talking to them. One of them's like, awesome, and you're a writer. Oh my God, I'm really looking for a writer. I'm looking for an editor. Can you work on my website? Cool. Then I become an editor for this website. Then I travel to Scotland by myself, and there's another community, and I make friends with them. And then, oh, I get invited to this, and I get invited to that. And then they ask me this. And it opened up this completely different world just in my kind of personal life. And then, so from the confidence of that, I was like, well, I trained to be an actor when I was younger and didn't do anything with it because, again, weird, and why don't we be an actor and all the judgment of society. So I hid that part of me. And then in my local community, there was community theater. And I just went one day and thought, all right, I'm gonna be brave. I'll just go to the audition. And then got a part in this incredible outdoor production over 3 weeks and rehearsals for about 6 months with people who just completely understood exactly the passion that was inside of me. And the person I was dating at the time just couldn't understand why I do that for free. And I was like, because I've never felt so alive. Because I'm finally, I go there and it felt like coming home into a warm hug. But no one else, like no one in my family had understood that. And so again, I just hidden it away and shied it away because I thought, well, I was classed as arrogant or I just want to be seen or like you're taking up too much space and you want too much attention. It's like, no, I just want to play a character on stage. It's fun. And it was shamed out of me.
Like, where do I start? It's actually the thing that's really coming through around this is those, how many people really disown those parts of them and never explore them. And they're constantly trying to explore the world through this, what does everyone else expect of me? What are they saying is the good thing to do? And they're like, well, they said that's good, so I'm gonna do that. And then they keep living sort of like this empty existence and they're like, why don't I feel alive? Why don't I feel connected? Why don't I have those things? And it's like, because you're taking someone else's lens of the world and you're trying to force yourself into it. Like you're trying to superimpose yourself into this lens. And you will never get aliveness from that because your aliveness is actually all in those shadowy parts that you're telling yourself are wrong. And when you start to follow those, like that's where the aliveness is. Like standing on stage, I would never, like honestly, I would never fucking go to a 5-day horror festival. That is traumatic to me. I would be like, I would rather die. And that's not because someone told me it's weird. I'm just like, my little nervous system cannot cope. But that's what I love about the world is that everyone has these different aspects. Everyone has these things that are unique and beautiful. And we become these like walking zombies in both our business and in our lives, the more we start to dissociate. And that's what it really sounds like through corporate is like, I can't be this. I have to be this like professional, clinical, well put together, cut person. And you just started to like dissociate from these parts of you. And then with your relationship, then it was more further dissociation and fragmentation and not feeling, well, I don't know who I am. And I know that you've talked publicly about your past relationship. And I think it was maybe like 12 months in that breakup happened into your business, about a year after Ignite. So I would love to like, because in business, I think that it asks us to like clean up our fucking shit. It asks us to go to the depths and pull out this stuff that is keeping us small, keeping us not using our voice, stopping us from setting boundaries, like you said, letting people walk all over us, pretending to be someone else. And the reason it asks us to do that, because you can't like, because there's so much opportunity these days and there's so many businesses, like what I do isn't actually unique, right? There's fucking a million coaches doing shadow work, but the way I do it and the way I present it is unique. Yeah. And so this is that piece of like, I had to really go in and like find myself and find my voice and my confidence and how I want to talk about it and go through those things and allow myself to be seen in that because I was so terrified, same as you, I was so terrified that people would judge and reject me. And so to avoid it, I would just judge and reject those parts of myself. And similar to you, that played out in all areas of my life. It played out in my relationships while I got codependent in past relationships. It played out in friendships while I'd lose myself in friendships, workplaces. Like the more we reject ourselves, the more vulnerable we really are to other people's projections and when they reject us and abandon us, because we're already feeling, fuck, I've already abandoned myself and I can't take you leaving as well. So throughout that like 12 months, you found shadow work, you started your business, and let's just talk about that relationship a little bit, because there is actually quite, there's a lot of like lack of safety that was tied up in like leaving that. And I think that created such a like, oh my God, am I going to actually survive if I leave this? That's really important for women to hear because they relationships will like it's pretty hard to do both. It's pretty hard to be in a really hard relationship and run a business. But I first want you to like show that it is possible and that you can do both, but it takes a level of work. So let's talk about that relationship and then wind it into how it all played out in business. Give us the DL.
Yeah, so I was not in a very good relationship, and it was during the time of lockdown. So obviously, you're working from home, you're living from home, you're together all the time. But the thing is, I deep down knew that there was something not right. Now, I'd been dating not very nice people for a very long time, since I was probably 15 years old.
Really
Ties
appreciating
back
that
to.
language around this. Not very nice, I think is a nice way of putting it.
Yeah, I was just trying to be polite. Because, but also I say that as well because now I do like the work on myself. I can look back and reflect on some of their behaviors and know that some of that came from trauma or came from a wound. And, you know, a lot of men, especially in England, didn't have the availability or knowledge to actually work on themselves. So I have to give them, like, it, you know, not obviously let them off lightly, but at the same time, like we all have work to do on ourselves. And I take responsibility for my part in some of those relationships. But I have a pattern of dating people who cut me down, who abuse me, who take away the parts of me that make me special. So the relationship I had when I discovered you and discovered the sisterhood was one that I suppose was quite familiar to me, but was the worst abuse I'd experienced in my life in terms of everything in my life in Australia was tied to this relationship. So a lot of people want to give you advice when you're in a situation where you're unhappy, where you're being abused, where you have just become a shadow of your former self. But at the time, and like I can feel it in my stomach, I was so scared all the time. Because I felt like if I just walk away, if I just say no, I'm not putting up with this anymore and I'm done, that was it. Like I would lose everything. I'd have to go back to England and rebuild a life that no longer existed for me. Like I'd sold everything in England. I didn't have a place to live in England. I didn't even have books or DVDs or a car. I'd sold everything to make a life here. And England felt like a prison sentence. Now I have parents and friends there, but it was so, it was it's such a dark thing to think of. Because I think when we get into relationships, we always think about what we expect from it, what we imagine it's going to be like. And so when you break up with someone or end something, you have to grieve the life you thought you were going to have. And it wasn't just a life with them who I was so in love with, or so I thought. It was everything about me. So I no longer felt at home in me because I didn't have a home in Australia and I didn't have a home in England and I didn't know where I was supposed to go. And people were saying things like, you'd be better off without them. And, you know, you can get to do whatever you want. You can travel the world and all these things. Like projecting onto me what they thought it'd be like fantastic to be single and what they would do. But I was like drowning in my own self. Like I couldn't breathe without being with this person. They just became everything to me, because what I hadn't realized was the abuse was so extreme that they'd taken away every single part of me that could be independent and strong. And I'd became basically everything they'd asked, even down to what nail color I had, down to what outfit I wore, down to how my hair was, which I didn't realize, but I'd sit and look in the mirror and didn't recognize who I was. So being in it, I knew deep down I wasn't happy, but I kept thinking it'll get better, it'll be okay. You know, I'll just love more, I'll just try more, to the point where I became the caretaker, I became the mother in the relationship because I had to be needed. I had to give everything I could in order to get the person to stay with me. And I remember I worked with you after Ignite, and I had some like one-to-one sessions with you. And I remember sitting in the corner of the living room at the desk I was allowed to buy. And I used to have sessions with you at 6 a.m. And I used to close every single door between us and whisper because I was so scared he would hear me. But at the same time, I was talking to you, but I didn't know I was saying it was abuse, if that makes sense. Like, but then I look back and go, but you closed every single door and you whispered. So you knew it was wrong, but I still couldn't quite admit it. And I remember you just sitting looking at me and like you knew, and it was almost like you were my shadow looking back at me, I believe. Like you were the, like it was almost like I wish I could reach through the screen and you could pull me out. But working with you taught me that I was the only one that was able to do anything about it. And so doing shadow work and working on my business, I had to come face to face with loads of people or loads of mirroring from other people, I should say, that made me go, oh God, okay, this is playing out in every area of my life. Why am I attracting this kind of abuse? Why am I attracting these kind of negative things into my life? So the business, I believe, genuinely got me through the relationship because I could get up, go straight to that desk in the morning and just lock myself away and try and shut down and just give everything to my clients. So I was giving everything to him at home, then giving everything to my clients. And so it got me through, but I look back and now I don't know how I survived. I don't remember eating much. I remember exercising so vigorously. Like I think I dropped to like 54 kilograms and I'm 5'8". And I was ripped with a six pack and I was so proud, but I was literally losing control of everything. So I started like, I think almost like I had an eating disorder. I just didn't realize because I was just trying to control something. And it just got to the point where If anyone's experienced burnout in corporate, I suppose it was that, but it was a burnout from every single aspect of your life crashing down. But I do believe that if I hadn't discovered the world of coaching, because I tried therapy and they all agreed, like, this is bad. He shouldn't be doing this. You shouldn't be in that situation. But that was all I got. They agreed with me, and I was like, that's not really helpful. But working with coaches, working with your program, working with Erica and other coaches like that, and learning that this was not normal behavior, learning that it was actually abuse and what the person was doing was not okay, not okay in the slightest. And then being given the tools and the practices to actually get really in touch with the hidden parts of myself. And some of these parts I kept hidden from even the past relationship. My relationship before that was 9 years long. It was almost a decade. And that was abusive as well. But that person was always knocking something out of me. Like, you want to be a writer, you should write, but you can't write. You need to watch TV with me. And when I moved here, my sister witnessed how controlling they were. And I had no idea. And I'd been controlled for 9 years because I'd just become so used to that kind of behavior. So I would have stayed in that. I likely would have stayed in my past relationship unless he'd broken up with me, if I had not found coaching, if I had not found personal development, and if I haven't discovered shadow work and found out all those horrible, nasty, dark, dirty parts of me that they always shunned. The best fucking bit about me.
Oh, my heart. I feel like I actually do have tears in my eyes because that there's like so many women and men and people that experience abuse and the projections from others, and that they don't even realize, like you and I've experienced this too. Like, we don't even realize that we're gone. We don't even realize that we've become a shell of the person, but we can feel that. We can feel it. We feel like something's missing in our soul. And it was very similar. Like, my journey with shadow work and why I love it is very similar, is that it allowed me to reclaim the parts of me that ex-partners and society and all of those things told me were bad and yucky and I shouldn't do that. And realizing, very similar, like, they're actually my gift. They're actually so beautiful and so special, and no one can take that from me now. No one can take me that from me now. Like, that's how I feel with shadow work, is we can see it now. We can see, oh, this person's trying to make me wrong for that, but I don't make me wrong for it. And I don't need to listen to that. And so I can still stand in my power even when people don't like it. Even they think I'm fucking weird because I want to go to a 5-day horror thing, right? And that is like, to me, that's fucking power. Like, that's the raw power. Forget the business, forget the relationship, forget everything else. Like, raw fucking power is that we can stand in the face of adversity, in the face of judgment, in the face of challenge, in the face of all of that, and be like, I'm fucking here and I am standing and I will continue to stand up for myself, and you will no longer bully me into submission, into subjugation, and into playing small.
Just got chills. I'm like, oh yes. Mic drop.
So the other thing that I the thing and it's so funny how you said, like, it was like looking into the mirror of like my shadow. I remember so many of those sessions and having to walk so slowly with you and so gently with you, because, you know, I studied counseling and psychology and stuff at uni, and one thing that they said is like, never ever tell someone that they should leave a relationship even when you know it's bad. You need to hold space for them to come to that conclusion on their own and help them create safety. And So I was like, I just have to hold this. I have to hold the vision for her. I have to keep showing her her power. I have to keep showing her that safety doesn't exist outside of her, but it actually exists in her body. So you can start to cultivate that. And I could see like just the little layers, the little glimmers into like, maybe this isn't right. Maybe I could do something different. Like there was just this like little shifts and getting to hold space for you in such a vulnerable space while also helping you build your business was something really special to me because I also built my business in an abusive relationship. And that's where I started. And it sounds like very similar that we both kind of built a business as a life raft.
Yep, definitely.
And we were like holding on to that motherfucker. We're like, help, I'm gonna trust. And for me, and similar to what you said, like it actually did give me something to focus on. It gave me something that was mine, that I was proud of, that I could show up and be myself in. And it helped me rebuild my personality. It helped me rebuild my confidence in myself, which someone had really taken away from me, or I had allowed them to take it away from me. And I think there's like a lot of conversation in the coaching space, especially of like, well, don't build a business out of your wounds. And it's like, well, what happens if that was the thing that actually helped you survive?
Yeah.
Like, clean that shit up later. It's fine. But like, if that's the thing that is allowing you to get through your life and to feel a sense of pride and self-esteem and something to focus on so you don't completely emotionally shatter into a thousand pieces and never get out of bed again, that's fucking fantastic. And what it sounds like is like, okay, so there's this relationship, all this shit's going on, and then you're like, this is also playing out in my business. So did you start to clean it up in your business and then it translated, or was it cleaning it up in your relationship and then it translated to business?
Yeah, it was definitely relationship first. So it was definitely the pandemic that taught me that we can have our own business because I was working from home in a corporate job and that naturally came to an end. And that's why I went full in on my business. It was side hustle. You helped me get there. I wanted to be a proofreader originally. I remember that. So I started as my being a virtual assistant on the side, then went full time because I figured it's a pandemic and, we're at home. So I might as well go full in. And then, when the pandemic lifts, I can always go back to corporate if it doesn't work. But what I did was because it, like you say, a life raft is a perfect way to describe it. But my clients never saw this from me. They never saw me turn up late or turn up teary-eyed or anything. That's why I did work very, very early in the morning and got as much done as I could before he woke up because then he would distract. And that's when, I didn't want people to witness what was going on in the house at the time. Or when, if he went out at any time, I'd sneak in work then. So what happened was, though, I was giving a lot to my clients because I really wanted to be liked. I really wanted to do well. So I probably overgive. And I focused on working with clients, building my name, getting out there. Obviously, at the time, my brand wasn't quite me, but I was getting referrals a lot and it was working really well. So I started the business like towards the end of February, beginning of March in 2021, as you said, and worked solidly. And I left the relationship in November. Now, it was a very abrupt end to the relationship. But between that time of February and November, I'd gotten to the point where I had 11 clients and I was really struggling because the abuse was getting so bad at home. It was the worst cycle I had was from the October and it lasted till when I left in November. And it was very hard to be in that house around the person. And work. So I was working for the level clients, but bury myself in it and give myself clients wasn't working anymore because I literally had gone dry. There was nothing else I could do. And so a couple of them I did let go before I'd left because I was like, I can't function. I can't do this and pass them on to other VAs. When I left their relationship, I had to go into a process of things like emergency housing and go to the courts and go to the police and everything like that. So when I started the process, I couldn't work. My brain was just completely mush. So I had to make the really hard decision to contact all of my clients and say, I can't do this. And with some of them, I had to tell them what was going on, which, if you're in it, is a very personal thing. And some of them had no idea, but I had such a responsibility to them, which, to be honest, I realize now I didn't need to tell them, but I just, you know, again, oh, I have to make sure, like, you know, they're not mad at me and they don't feel bad about me. I remember one of them saying to me, like, "So how long do you need? 2 weeks?" And I was like, I don't, so, but one client who was wonderful, Emily, she knew about it and she stayed with me. She said, "I'll keep paying you and you do what you can when you can. You know, I'm here for you. I've got you." I know, like, it makes me
Oh
like
my
really
God.
emotional when I think about it because she's still with me now to this day. But with her work as well, like, there's lots of things I could just do on autopilot because I'd been with her business for so long. So I could, and that helped me get through thinking, right, I've got a little bit of money and like I've got her. But the process of the course and the police, and I had to move 9 times in 10 months, and it was a lot. I had a visa to sort out. But I actually managed to get a lot of this stuff sorted by April the following year. And my business, I kind of started to pick back up. You know, I started to venture out on socials because I've been so scared to show my face in case I got found. So there's all that kind of thing of you can't have a business and not show your face. But at the same time, I couldn't because I was in hiding, which sounds very dramatic, but it was very, very scary, weird time. But when I started to feel more confident, I started showing up a bit more and then reaching out, and the clients slowly came back in. And what I noticed was I started to fall back into that same pattern of starting to stand my own power of like, right, I've left the relationship, I can heal now. But I realized I wasn't really healing. I was just avoiding that part of me. So when it came to the clients, some of them I was letting the boundaries slip, letting them take too much of me again. And this went on for the rest of the year. So I was still showing up, I was doing my business, I was good, but I was still, I don't know what's happening here. And then it was almost that shadow of, I didn't want to face the victim part of myself. I didn't want to face the girl that had been so damaged and so broken. And as nauseous as this makes me feel, the person that was still in love with them, the person that wanted them back, which I realize now is a trauma bond and not real love, but I hadn't dealt with any of it. It had been so quick and so such a painful experience, but it was like ripping off a band-aid and then throwing it away. And that's not how it works with something like this. So I had to reassess and think, well, something's still not right here. So I had to kind of go back to the beginning of the book again and back into personal development, go back to shadow work and go, right, okay, start doing all the exercises again, reading the books, listening to reaching out to coaches, start new programs, going back to therapy and trying to figure out what had happened. And I did go to a therapist who specializes in women who've left domestic violence relationships, which honestly took 8 months on the wait list, which is insane. So I do feel for people in this situation. And that really helped. It really helped kind of get to the nuts and bolts of red flags and boundaries and what I'd been through and making sense of it, because I realized I was getting PTSD in certain situations and I didn't know what was happening. It was happening with clients and I couldn't explain what was happening. And obviously some new ones coming in had no idea, and I didn't want to be wear victim on my wrist because I felt ashamed. You know, I kept getting messages of like, "You're so brave and you're so courageous." And I was just like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, I ran away. I ran away. Like, it's shameful. Because even that, I shame myself for leaving. I shame myself for saving my own life. And to this day, there's still part of me that does. But like, I know I wasn't strong enough at the time to do any other decision. I had to have people support me to get out of it because I couldn't have left by myself. But it's something I still work on to this day. But I went back to the drawing book and yes, like I say, I tried really hard and started working on it and going to therapy and all the things. And I actually met somebody and started dating them, which surprised me. And dating him was actually a really good mirror as well, because he's the first person in my life who's really rock solid as a human being. He knows exactly who he is. He has strict boundaries. He's been through trauma himself. He's had, you know, experiences in this space, kind of similar, but not really. And I'd have PTSD episodes. I'd have triggers. I'd do all the things. I'd push him away. I'd behave strangely. And he would call me out on it in a loving way, but like almost like, stop fighting against me. I'm not going to do anything to you. And I had to learn how to trust somebody else who was genuine And again, a show me the shadow of I don't trust myself. Right. Okay. So that's the bit. And that's the bit has been tripping me up my entire bloody life. I do not trust myself. So dating him has been a hell of a personal development journey because I've never dated someone who's like solid and sound and such a nice person.
Feels.
And show me so many areas of my life. Like even my best friend who got me through the abusive relationship, who I relied on her for everything, we were so tight, broke up with me because she didn't like who I was when I wasn't being abused. She didn't like the real me. And I'm mesmerized by that in terms of like, wow, okay, cool.
Wild.
So then I started to be like, oh God, that bit of me that's weird, that bit that's strange and unliked. Oh God, is she right? Is she right? And it took a lot to go, all right, cool, well, you're lost then. I couldn't have done that, like obviously previously. And I know now there's a projection on her or whatever. But also give me a chance to find myself. I've just gone through hell for 3 years. I'm just trying to figure out who I am and settle into it. So in business, when it got like a beginning of the year last year, I really started to feel more confident and kind of like, well, you know what? I am bloody weird. I am bloody different, and I'm bloody well proud of it. Because why be like everybody else when everyone else is boring? Not kidding, you're not all boring. No, it's like where the freak flag on
Savage
your sleeve?
now.
Yeah, you're like yeah, bitches. And I started thinking like, all right, well, now it's time to get professional. You know, this business is on its legs. I feel comfortable. I've got my good clients. You know, who do I want to work with? What do I want to look like? And that's when I went really deep into the brand side of business. I hadn't had a website and all those things. And I was like, well, if my business is mine and my business is my personal brand, who am I? I love horror movies. I love rock and roll music. I sit around wearing really baggy Vans t-shirts like I'm wearing today. I walk around in boys' tracky bottoms. Like I'm very just blah. I wear my hair in pigtails. I swear I've got a weird accent that people can't understand. Why don't you just own it? And it was like a light bulb for me. Like, oh God, I can just look like me. Because when I searched online business manager websites, yes, cheer. On Google, the first page, every website, I was like, are these different people? Because they all looked exactly the same. And no shade to anyone who wears corporate suits and has a really cool, sexy, stylish vibe website or whatever that is. Cool. But there's so many of you and it makes me uncomfortable because that's not me. So like, well, let's play around and see what it would be me. And then the end concept is Beetlejuice exploded on a page. That's why I describe my brand, Beetlejuice exploded. You know, and my designer went, why not use green? I was like, green? And then I brought in purple. Then I brought in different terms that I use. And then I did a photo shoot and just wore a leather jacket and put my hair in bunches and had fun and realized, oh my God, business actually can be easy when you just step into every single part of you've ever shamed. And now people go, I know exactly when it's you. I know it's when it's you when you're talking. I know it's you when I see a social post. I know it's you when it's your website. When people say OBM, I think of you. When people say horror movies, I think of you. And I'm like, cool, because I show up as me in my business and outside of business. And I don't think there needs to be a differentiation.
Fucking mic drop.
Yeah. It's my rock and roll.
That's like a fucking man, like literally a man, sister, because that is the truth. And when we own that and when we just step into it, you're right. Like business gets to be easy. Business gets to be fun. It doesn't have to be a thing where we're like, oh my God, what about this? And what about that? And da 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 da. How should I? Da, da, da. It's just like, you just show up and be yourself. And that's beautiful. I journeyed something similar in the like spiritual space, right? Because I love like the spiritual side and healing, and Ignite is obviously like a much more healing. It was always healing, but now it's really in the healing world with like sage and blah, blah, blah. And when I first started doing Ignite Live as a retreat, I was like, I have to wear like white linen. That's what I said. I was like, I have to wear white linen and like be really like spiritual and earthy. And I did it. I was like, yeah. And I went like really far into this spiritual world. And I was like, I feel like I've lost my personality here. And this isn't really me. Like, I am very fiery. I'm very to the point. I'm very blunt. And also, I like to wear bougie fucking clothes. And so It was this one in particular where I really just owned it. And I like went out and I bought all these new outfits and I got like really long dangly earrings. And there's like a photo of me. I actually look like a dominatrix in it because of the outfit I'm wearing. And I was like, you fucking mad bitch. Like, and it just felt so good. I felt so sexy and like in my power and fierce and all of that. And it's like, it doesn't matter what it looks like because you wouldn't come and hold my retreat and wear that outfit because you'd be like, that doesn't make me feel like me. So I'm not going to feel like sexy and strong and powerful. But if you're there and like, actually, maybe because it is kind of dominatrix leather vibe, but like, you're going to have your own version of that. And I think the more that we find ourselves and do this work, and as you said, look at others in the mirror and go, what is this person reflecting back to me? And I really agree with you. And it's so funny, like our journeys are just so similar, right? Because then you met your partner now, and I met my partner 5, 6 years ago, and I had to go through that of like, oh, this person loves me too much. Like, why are you being nice to me and consistent? Like, I don't know what to do. So when you've only known abuse, having someone who sees you and loves you and holds you and holds you to your highest and loves all of those parts of you, I think that's so fucking important as well. And not all of us are lucky to at this stage to find that in relationship with a partner, but I want to bring it back into communities because what it sounds like is that even though you had these relationships and corporate and stuff, you had these little pockets for you to go to where you could still show up as weird cat, right? A weird cat. Yeah, that is you.
Weird cat,
So
yeah.
the other thing I really noticed in your business is like you were very new and you're new to the online space, but you really utilized community as well during that time to help you build a network. So what role has community played in your life, like in who you are today and how that's helped you recover from, DV and how that's helped you show up in your business. Like, let's really talk about the role of community.
Oh, like even the word community just makes me like, huh. Because I think people can use the word community and not really understand it, or it's overused, like the word empowered or something like that. People go, all right, community. But I'm like, oh, it not only changed my life, like community saved my life, hands down. So I can't even like in England, obviously I had a horror community, I had a rock music community, I had an acting community. And I guess at the time I didn't realize what that's what it was, but that's definitely my first introduction to people accepting me for my weird bits before they were kind of like knocked out of me. And then here in Australia, what I found is a community that's, well, mainly online, to be honest, but communities that I had no idea would have existed if I hadn't found A, personal development, and B, started my own business. It actually blows my mind that if I hadn't started my own business, there are so many people I would not know. And it makes me like I can't even imagine it. I cannot imagine it because I've get to connect with so many amazing women who have been in similar spaces or even just live down the road or are in a small business when I have a chat. I just it I can't fathom it. But for me, my community journey started with Erica Kramer Sisterhood. So obviously that's an online community. And I definitely had a sister wound. Definitely. I grew up as the tomboy. I was always around the boys, talking about football, talking about sex, talking about food and whatever, and didn't realize that I had no female friends, so to speak. So going into a space where it's all women and there's hundreds of them was absolutely terrifying, especially in the room and they're all dancing and being nice to each other. And I was kind of going, why do they all like each other? Like, what is happening? Why is no one bitching behind each other's backs? So that was a very interesting introduction to the fact of like, yeah, this is women growing up, join in. And it was through that community creating that safe space where I was able to start kind of telling people what I was going through and not getting judgment and not getting told like leave him or anything like that. It was just like, we'll see you, send you love. And that's when I started to warm up to the idea of like, oh, there are people out there who can have your back and don't necessarily have to be your best friend, but just want to see you and respect that. And I'd go to events and I'd slowly start to open up more. And I was like taught really like that's not okay. Because I knew it wasn't okay, but like getting the reflection of other people who've been through something similar or could reflect back to me the things I was saying. And that was what was happening in your program as well. There was a community there of like, we all worked together. I think it was 8 months, our membership with you. It was a long time. And, you know, from that, I got clients and long-term friends. And they knew what was going on because we met in a personal development space and then went into business. We could have that overlap of like, actually, are you okay? What's going on? Do you need anything? So I started to develop these two communities either side that were both reflecting to me that this was not okay and I deserve better. And that was a fantastic way to support me out of it. And it was actually in the sisterhood that someone gave me the number for Lifeline, because I hadn't even heard of Lifeline. I didn't even know there was people out there that could help me, which led me to the services that actually helped me leave the relationship. And another sister gave me the name of visa agent. Shout out to Charlene, because my God, she was fantastic and she helped me with my visa. But like, I wouldn't have got those by myself. I wouldn't have thought to look for them. I wouldn't know where to look for them. So they helped me go to the next part of my chapter. And then in business, you get clients and you start talking to them about things. And I've been referred to a lot of communities from clients. So I joined a community called One Roof. And One Roof is for small business owners and it's global. But the connection in that group is just, it's unlike anything I've experienced outside of personal development. So obviously they do have aspects of that in there, but there's so much given to you in this community and so many people want to connect with you and hang out with you and remember you and refer you. And I was just like, wow, I was blown away by how supportive women were in business. And I just assumed joining this sphere that would all be like, well, no, because you did the same thing as me. We can't hang out. You can't sit with us. All that kind of backstabby behavior that I'd experienced a lot of growing up.
Yeah.
Obviously, as kids, we didn't know any better. And it wasn't like that at all. Like some people I connect with a lot are in the same space as me and I'm happy to refer clients onto them or happy to collaborate or happy to share their offer and sing their praises from the rooftop because there's enough work to go around. There's enough clients to go around and we're not on competition. And we all, like you say, are different. So people want to work with me because I love horror movies or in spite of me loving horror movies or something, or they want to work with them because they do look more professional and prefer their website. That's absolutely fine. And I can't judge people for picking what they want from a person. But it's just expanded. It keeps expanding. That's why I feel like people who are, you know, it is lonely working in business, but you need to reach out and have these people in your corner. Because I wouldn't, I honestly don't think I'd be here today. Like I got to the lowest point of my life ever. And if I didn't have these communities, I don't know, I'd be sat here with you right now. Like that's how much community means to me. And that's how much I felt supported. And it wasn't even just, you know, giving me the numbers and the advice to get out. Even just someone saying, I see you, I heard you, I get it. Because I was living in a house where he wouldn't talk to me. I was sat in silence for months. Now I had no one to talk to. So someone saying they could hear me, it was like a stepping stone to finding myself. And I could sit in a call with you and you could just sit and look at me, not say anything. And I was like, oh my God, I'm seen. I'm seen. So my inner child was like, oh my God, she sees you. And it was just like, oh, is this what this feels like? So that's why community is so important to me. And, you know, I've started build my own community of fellow online business managers because it's fantastic. I connect with other business owners. I connect with other people in the personal development space. But online business managers, where are you? I want to connect more because, you know, what we do is quite a niche thing. And it's so fantastic to have a space where people just understand exactly what you're going through. You know, it'd be the same for any, like if you're a web designer, you're a coach or you're a fitness trainer, people get you on a level that other people don't. When it comes to clients, when it comes to the services you offer. So I want to create a space where we can be there for each other and offer each other advice and lift each other up and celebrate each other and, you know, refer work and collaborate and make a space where it is collaboration over competition. But specifically for OBMs, because I haven't found it. So I thought, well, I'm so involved in communities myself. I work in clients' communities who've built these extraordinary spaces. That, yeah, let's create one. That's the next logical step. So people can experience what I've experienced and live their truest life and their truest self.
That's so beautiful. Like, I almost have no words, and that's very rare for me. It's very rare. And there's so many beautiful pieces in there around community in both business, and I love how you talked about the sisterhood wound and actually realizing, especially in a business, I feel like it's often a different caliber of women, and we don't want to fuck around with the competition bullshit. We don't want to put each other down. Like the fact that women can even have business, we're like, fuck yeah. We can make our own money and run our own business and not be told what to do by a man. How crazy. And having people there to like help you and prop you up and, you know, cheer for you and hear you and see you and everything from business and to just personal development spaces where I remember having a very similar experience that you're describing where I just like stare at you in a loving way, not just like deadpan you. Like it's not weird. And I remember having a similar experience in a personal development space, and I was really broken at that time. And this woman just came and I was like crying. She just held my hands and she just lovingly gazed at me. And I just fell apart. And I had never felt more loved and more seen in my entire existence. And that's what I love about these spaces and these communities as well, is that people know how to hold their own. They know how to hold their own emotions without judging it, without making it wrong, without making it uncomfortable. And so when you're in that space, they can hold you and then teach you how to hold yourself. And I agree, like those are the communities that also saved my life and helped me be who I am today. Because when I'm having a fucked up day or whatever, like I've got so many friends who understand the work and who can hold space, and I just call them. I'm just like, oh. Like it's cool, babe. Like, you know, and we can go from there. So I think it's really beautiful that someone with so much wisdom and life experience and business experience now is weaving something very niche to come in because it's needed, and you know how much it's needed. And I know that you're going to not just support people in their business and collaboration, but support the woman or the OBM who is actually sitting in front of you and sitting in that group and see them not as a business owner, but as a fucking woman. And that is special. So, what's the name of this community that you're creating?
So the community is called OBM Motley Crew. Crew is CREW, so I won't get copyright.
Screw rock music, you won't copyright me.
The
Beautiful. And where can they find more information about you, more information about the community? If we have any OBMs or wanting to be OBMs, where can these people connect with you, darling?
So I've kept it nice and simple. So I'm Cat Louise Dunn across everything. That's all socials and my website, Cat with a C, Cat Louise Dunn. Connect with me, send me a message. I'm here wherever you need.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. And just thank you so much for like your vulnerability and your transparency and your honesty. This is probably one of my favorite podcasts that I've ever recorded. And it really fucking moved me. Like it really, really, really moved me. And just getting to see how far you've come through this journey and that you get to sit here today and be you and let people see you is profound, and I am just endlessly in awe of how willing you are to meet those edges and to be who you are today.
Thank you, Caitlin, and thank you for starting me on the journey.
You're welcome anytime. All right, beautiful soul. So if you want to connect with Kat, I'll also leave all of her details in the show notes so you can grab those. If you resonated with her, if you're wanting to start a business, if you're wanting to find communities, then make sure you connect with her on socials as well. And if or as always, if you have any questions, feel free to reach out. And if you love this episode, please share it with someone, especially a woman who might be in a really difficult situation as well, who might not be feeling like there is hope on the other side. Share it with someone like that. Share it on your socials and tag us, because this episode's obviously about business, but it's also about real fucking shit that happens in relationships and DV and abuse and how much we can actually change and still grow on the other side of something so painful. So please share this with a woman, because this is a really important conversation to open up. But apart from that, beautiful souls, I will talk to you all on the next episode.